I have spent my whole life living near the coast of Bosaso, Somalia. I don't know any other land. While the boat people, those who are hungry for new homes in places like London and Luxembourg, risk their lives on cargo ships, I stand firm on the soil and I tell stories. I tell stories to my daughters about kings and warrior queens, freedom fighters and poets. I tell these stories to remind my children and myself that Somalia is fertile with history and myth. The only seed that needs regular watering is our imagination. My eldest daughter, Suldana, is in love with another woman. She's 18 and she spends her days working at our kiosk selling milk and eggs. And at night, she sneaks out and goes down to the beach to see her lover. She crawls back into bed at dawn smelling of sea and salt and perfume. Suldana is beautiful, and she wraps this beauty around herself like a shawl of stars. When she smiles, her dimples deepen, and you can't help but be charmed. When she walks down the street, men stare and whistle and ache. But they cannot have her. Every day, marriage proposals arrive with offers of high dowries, but I wave them away. We never talk about these things like mothers and daughters should, but I respect her privacy, and I allow her to live.
That's the beautiful start of your book, and you're writing there as a mother. How difficult is that?
The whole point of being a writer is so that you can get into the minds of different characters. I like the fact that the story opens with a mother who's actually, in many senses, a very traditional mother, but she's not terribly concerned with religiosity or tradition when it comes to the protection and happiness of her daughter. And I thought, what an amazing message to send out, because something that a lot of LGBT youth from all across the world experience is that initial rejection that comes from family. And it's incredibly painful. And I thought, how brilliant is it that here is a story about a woman who unconditionally loves her daughter, and despite the many societal hurdles that are standing in their way, she's like, I give you my blessing, and I love you unconditionally.
Did you get that kind of understanding when you were growing up?
I didn't get that kind of understanding from my immediate family. I feel like it's only now that the conversation of gay rights and gay issues are really being discussed all across the African diaspora. In the 90s, when I was growing up, it was just blanket silence. And it was incredibly difficult to express anything. So when I came out to my parents, I think they knew, they had a sense. But it was the idea of me voicing the unspeakable in their minds. In a culture like the Somali community where, you know, we don't necessarily express our emotions in the way that we perhaps would like to express our emotions, here I was making a very bold statement about my identity and saying, hey, this is who I actually am, and please show me some love and some respect. And I think that startled them. But as time has passed, you learn to see the world from a more generous perspective.
And have your parents learned that?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I haven't spoken to my parents in a very long time, but I don't doubt that they love me very much. It's just that for my own sanity and for my own sense of self-preservation, I just felt, let me leave you guys alone to it until you actually come to terms with what you need to come to terms with. And when you're ready, I'm here.
Now, how do you feel about winning this award that you won at the end of last week? You must be thrilled to bits.
I really felt very proud because I'm the first African writer to win this award. I wasn't expecting it, and I was extremely happy because before the prize, I felt kind of dispirited in many ways about the path that I was on, because writing is ultimately a solitary pursuit, and it can be a very dispiriting pursuit in many ways, but it can also be a joy-inducing experience, not just for the readers, but also for the writer. And so it was a wonderful piece of validation.
Tell the listeners more about Fairy Tales for Lost Children. I've read the book and I absolutely loved it because I think the language you use is beautiful. The reading there, that you know, she wrapped her beauty around her like a shawl of stars. I mean, oh, goodness me. It's the kind of writing that makes my heart skip a beat.
But thank you.
Explain what it is. It's a series of short stories.
The crux of the book is about sexual identity within the context of being a gay Muslim African. It's fundamentally a book about freedom. And what a beautiful thing in this day and age.
Now, the Independent newspaper here in the UK reviewed your book by saying, at a time when homosexuality is still illegal in most of Africa and barely features in contemporary African fiction, this book is a welcome surprise. At a time when African writing is on the rise, Osman stands above the crowd. That's a great review to have. It's a brave thing you've done, don't you think?
When I first started writing this book, I was in my mid-20s and I was writing the book as I was coming out. I never sat back and thought to myself, this is a brave thing. For me, it was a matter of, I need to write this or otherwise I will go mad if I don't get
this. It was a kind of catharsis.
It was a complete catharsis. It's something I'm very proud of.